Welcome to a cold, snowy, noise-filled, crazy SGR coffee break. Oh, man, we had a blizzard. Our temps are like below zero with the wind chill. It's fucking snowing again. Just in our pre-little five-minute talking, there were so many noises and craziness going on. Fully be prepared for my wife and her friend to walk in, probably right in the, like, the heart of a deep... we don't have deep intellectual conversation. They'll just walk in, so be prepared for that. I'm, you know, Sean will probably come walking up and throw carries empty wine bottles across the room to teach her a lesson, so it'll be a good time today. We will never see episode 52. We will never make it a full year, because after this, we're just going to be like, it's done, it's over.
Wow! We're already calling it quits.
I'm so sad that I never got the little banner for down here. I got all the little, icons.
You're such a slacker, man.
I know. Hey, you know what? It's cold. Oh, man, look at that snow just fall. Fuck you, snow. You know what? It was so cold the other day that even the squirrels had no fucks to give, and they never even came out. It was very interesting. It was one of the things, I was making a camera strap, and I looked outside, and I was like, there are absolutely no squirrels out running around right now. That is how cold it is. Even the squirrels were like, nope, no fucks. I'm staying in my little tree hole. Mother Nature.
Yeah, it's not that cold here.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
I mean, it's cold, but it's not... There's no snow. We're having a very mild winter.
Yeah, you know, I really shouldn't be complaining, because our winter this year has been actually pretty light. So, I mean, last year we had like a month where it was sub-zero temps for... freaking forever, so nature. I'm ready for spring. Bring on the spring.
Anyway. You gonna be alright?
Yeah.
You gonna get through this?
I'm gonna get through this. I'm still gonna get through this.
Should we talk about some box art drama?
You know, I saw this morning and I was gonna do some research because when it comes to video games, it seems like once every 2 years there is some sort of box art catastrophe drama. People throw like it's. I don't even keep my box for, you know, I don't even keep my boxes. So unless it's a really good one, really really good one, I have a few steel books. But
oh yeah, the steel books for sure.
But so Carrie.
Well, the last box art drama I remember is BioShock Infinite. Everyone was very upset that the cover of that was just Booker with, you know, guns slung over his shoulder like any other generic shooter. And my thing was like, well, you know, Elizabeth should have been on the cover. And everyone's like, why don't you make it more artistic, like some of the propaganda art and that's in the game. And Rational Games came out with a alternate cover on the inside so you could, you know, turn it inside out. If you really wanted to, but they explained that this was the cover that did well with the focus groups for people who knew nothing about the game, which, you know, they're looking at a shelf, at a store shelf, which game would they pick up? And so, you know, they got to go with their marketing research. So now this latest drama was with the Doom box art.
Yeah, I did see a glimpse of this where somebody posted a picture, like, because it's so generic, you can put, like, Halo, Call of Duty.
Yes. And then he did Cooking Mama, which kind of stretched it a little bit, but...
I do remember.
But yeah, I mean, it is very generic. I don't understand why that caused everyone just to go nuts over it, because, okay, so it's generic and it's boring, and that's gonna... Maybe that'll hurt them in the future? I don't know, but...
I can totally explain this, Gary.
Okay.
The internet is full of hate. We live in a hate-filled culture now. So, there you go. Because,
okay.
You know, back in the day, I used to keep my boxes, but then I realized that I'm, like, buying extra bookcases just for boxes. So, no, I don't even do that. And I wonder, because a lot of people, let's face it, it's Doom, and I think a lot more piece of the PC crowd's going to end up snagging.
Does the PC crowd even care about box art? You know, because they haven't been able to buy physical copies of games in years.
Well, I mean, the collector's edition comes with a physical copy, but
But that's a totally different beast to begin with.
but that one I do wish that they had a nice steel case. I did not see that there was a steel case with that one, but a light up LED anyway, before I get on that. But yeah, I have a feeling that most people, a lot of people just buy their games through Steam, number one, and then you got Uplay and EA's thing, whatever it is that they're doing now. So, I mean, is box art even a thing anymore? I mean, for the
The really
people.
funny thing was is that this was on our Action Trip podcast as well, and Udrosh held up the box art for Destiny and then Bloodborne. I was like, oh, holy shit, like they are almost interchangeable. I mean, they so I was so my argument was like, well, I wonder how much video game companies even care about box art, because that maybe just be one more resource they have to tap. And hiring another graphic designer and all that to come up with something, and maybe the budget's already been eased up in other areas of marketing. They don't want to do that for this. And I guess to me, I guess box art, like I understand box art is important for movies because they have the movie posters. And, you know, like I was looking at some of the Captain America Civil War movie posters, and holy crap, those are just, they're amazing. But I think movies have a bigger thing about doing the art because they're trying to capture a larger audience than video games
Well,
do.
also on movies, let's face it, when you go by the movie theater, right, they're like 24 inches, they're like 3 feet tall. I mean, they're huge. So that artwork is going to be what you see. When you go to the store, you have, a little box like this, and it's just kind of there. So, the one thing I would be interested to see is how, like the PSN and the Xbox store and the Wii, the eShop, the Nintendo eShop, how those, their sales figures are, how those are comparing to the actual physical copies that are starting to leave store shelves. So, are we starting to see a bigger boom and people just being like, well, I can preload it. So that way, when the game unlocks at midnight at whatever time, I can just
It's
play it,
right.
So.
It's already done. And yeah, and I have to admit that, you know, I used to be totally like, I want my physical media. I like having the boxes on the shelves. Now I've gotten like super lazy, and I really like not taking the disc out.
Yeah, I've gotten so bad at that now. Ever since and the funny thing is like, I did it. I've been buying games on Steam for years. I mean, I've had my Steam account since Half-Life 2 originally released, and you had to have Steam installed in order to play Half-Life 2. So I've been buying Steam games for way too long. And I was always like, when I get on my consoles, like, I want my physical media. And then, we're losing all that backwards compatibility. Now it's just like, if you want to play old games, either keep your old systems or do, like, now they're starting to slowly work in digital backwards downloads, but it's only one gen back, except for the PS3, because PS3 had to go and make all those fancy processors. So, but yeah, now I'm just like, I haven't, unlike Amazon, and even Amazon doesn't do it all that frequently, where you'll see a news article creep up where Amazon pulls a book from Kindle owners because of whatever reason. But we haven't really seen Sony being like, well, you bought that game, and we're gonna revoke your $60 game. You can't have it anymore. I do get that point where some people are like, well, what happens when they stop supporting it? I still have the physical media. I don't know that I don't ever go back except for maybe once or twice a year to play like Super Nintendo games. And now they're on the eShop, so it's.
Well, and you know, in that scenario, like for my PS3, you know, I installed I think it was a 1 terabyte drive, is as hard as it is as high as it could go. And I just, you know, then downloaded all the things. And so even if they do make it go away, you know, unless the game is PT, you know, they can't scrub it off my system.
But on box art, this extends to more than just video games. Because when I was working at 148 Apps, their box art is the little icon that shows up on your iOS device.
Right.
And the hoopla that goes on behind, is this a good icon? Is this a bad icon? I mean, that I can understand a little bit more than box art, where if you're buying collector's editions, then yes, you want to have a very nice box to, probably display, because let's face it, now collector's editions are creeping up there in prices now. So it's anywhere from $100 to $200, $400, whatever it
Depending
is.
on all the extra goodies that you get.
When I didn't sink that much money in, then yes, I would like to have something. And that's the part where if Doom was to include a steel case, I would want something a little less generic than what they're currently doing. I get there is a bit of nostalgia to it, right? Like, you're looking at the main character that's basically been in Doom for since Doom 1. So, but at the same point, it's the same generic pose that you get in like Call of Duty. It's the same generic pose that it, and when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, I could see that. That there's a nice Halo 5. There's a Spartan right there. That's cool. Oh, Call of Duty. Yeah, they just turned the guy from the back, and now we can see his front.
I mean, even if they had like maybe done a reflection in the visor
Yeah.
of the character, I don't think it would have been, people wouldn't have hated it as much, because then that's a bigger call to that character of old.
Well, I mean, because Doom is, from the videos that I've watched, they're digging back. They're going back to like Doom 2 roots and reviving some of those iconic characters, like the big floating pink blob with the eyeball. So now you got to jump up on him and you rip the eyeball out. It's cool. It looks great. I'm so excited. But I bringing it, they did so much work reviving some of that nostalgia, bringing Doom 2 up to current day standards and adding in some extra stuff. We'll see how well it plays, but let's face it, I'm still gonna buy the pre-order. I am part of the problem.
Well, but it's Doom.
Yeah, but it's Doom, so I've liked Doom. I even
And
liked it.
Bethesda revitalized Wolfenstein
Yeah,
very
and they
well. I know
did.
it's not the same developer, but still,
But
I have faith.
I look at the steel cases I have over here. I've got Dark Souls 2, I've got Thief, and I've got StarCraft 2. Those are the only steel cases I have. But every time I don't buy a game for the box art. I mean, let's in this at this point in time, it's not like back in the Super Nintendo days where you didn't have the internet, so the box art was basically what stopped you to make you like take that game and ask if they pull it out of the case and flip it over so you could actually read it, right? We're not in those antiquated days anymore. Now we're in. You want to know about a game, just look on the internet. So, at this point, you kind of already know what you want to buy. Now you're either just waiting for the reviews or you're going with the hype. So, they don't really need that cover art to really stop a whole lot of people in their tracks to be like, ooh, that interests me. Let me see. So, getting upset over some generic box art to throw a fit about it? Come on. You already know if you're going to buy the game or not. And
I guess people were concerned about, I guess maybe future fans of the game who don't know anything about Doom, and they, go to Best Buy or whatever and pick it up, and they're like, well, this looks generic, boring shooter. Which my response was to a friend of mine, I was like, well, but Doom kind of is your generic, boring shooter. I mean, it's
I mean, Wolfenstein ushered in the first-person shooter kind of thing, but let's face it,
yes.
Doom and Doom 2 is what sealed and made it a thing. Because I don't know. I mean, look, we just had our first new Doom level in 21 years. That's how iconic that game is. They are still making mods for it. So it's.
Well, I also think, people at Bethesda and id, most likely they don't think that they are counting on the nostalgia to bring in people. I don't think that they're going to that they I don't think that they believe they're going to get a whole bunch of new people and they've never heard of Doom before. So, and again, I think is they just don't want to put in the effort to make some, kick-ass box art. Their priorities were elsewhere.
The other thing is, I'm looking at you, so over your shoulder, you have a bunch of boxes there, right? But it's not like you're actually displaying the cover art. You just have the spines on display, so that way you can easily see what the game is, the game title is, and you can easily find the box. I mean, When was the last time you just took a game and was like, oh man, this cover art, oh Jesus, I am gonna just cut this out and frame it and hang it on the wall.
I'm actually trying to think if there is any cover art that I wanted a poster of. I do have a poster of the Mass Effect art, but that's just because of what Mass Effect means to me. It's nothing to do with how great the art is. Kingdom Hearts had a really good cover art. Was PS2 days. Again, that was the days, but really, really before people were looking up stuff on the internet.
Broadband was just kind of becoming a thing at that, I mean, in
Yeah, because
PS2,
I
so.
remember, because you bought PC games at the store.
Yep.
They had very beautiful boxes. That's how I learned about Baldur's Gate and Dark Age of Camelot, was thanks to that box art.
Do you remember the hoopla that came around when, because PC games used to come in boxes that were, I mean, they were like cereal size boxes.
Yeah.
And there was a.
So that people couldn't steal them.
Yeah, and then it became this giant hoopla when all of a sudden they started shrinking the game boxes. Because I was working at an electronics boutique at the time. Yeah, let's think on that one. Just if you don't know what electronics boutique is, just ask Dr. Google, and it'll take you to some good times. I also worked at Funko Land. Look that one up. But
I used to go to Babbage's.
oh, Babbage's. Oh, the arguments between what's better, Funko Land or Babbage's. Oh man. Anyway, when you're working in retail. That space, you know, the retail space becomes a big thing, and the marketing, and I mean, we would have to rearrange our store once a month to switch things around. And when the PC boxes went from giant cereal size boxes down to almost, they were just slightly bigger than DVD boxes. And we were like, how the heck? Because now we got to try to fit all these giant PC boxes in with all these tiny PC boxes. And the same thing happened with the PS1. Remember the PS1 boxes used to be really big, and then they shrunk those down to just like the little CD
The
size
CD
case.
jewel cases.
So, to me, there's been more hoopla over the frickin' box size than there has been over some cover art, and it just 'cause.
Don't know. I guess I'm just like, well, but the game is the same. Because I don't go see the movies because of their posters.
Yeah, it.
I like the posters. The posters are cool. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Captain America Civil War posters are phenomenal. They're gorgeous. But that's not why I'm going to go see the movie. I'm going to go see the movie because the trailer gave me chills.
Yeah, and I no longer drive by the movie theater to look at the posters on the wall. I just happen to know because it's right by Staples, and every time I have to go buy shipping materials, there's the movie theater right there, so I drive right by it. It's the only reason why in the last couple of years I've even driven by it. But that used to be how you would go. You didn't have Fandango or Flixster or all of that. You had to drive, either call the movie theater, which I still hate
No, it
making.
was the newspaper. You looked
Yeah.
it up in the newspaper.
What's that? I mean. Is that a paper full of news?
It
It's
is. It's a
just, I
paper
mean.
full of news. It left horrible black prints on your fingers, and you flipped through it. And like you got the entertainment section, and you looked to see. That's how we found out what movies were playing. Look at your various theaters and.
Well, we used to do in high school. We would just drive by the theater, and then that's when you looked at all the giant posters because below it had all the little times that they were playing. At that point, yes, we're. Let's face it. At this point, we are. Even. People on dial-up still use the internet. Yeah, they may not be streaming all these 4K videos, and they may not be watching every trailer, but I can guarantee you they're going to various websites to read up on games that they're starting to hear about.
Yeah.
And movies, so we're no cover art to me is becoming a thing that just is becoming less of a necessity because we are already knowing about games that we want to buy. So usually by the time the release date comes out, you've either pre-ordered it, you've preloaded it if you've bought it off of, you know, some electronic store, or you're just waiting for the reviews to come out that week to see if you're going to go buy it. And then you're going to go
Right.
buy it or you're not going to go buy it. It's you're no longer
Cover
just.
art's not going to prevent me from buying a game. And cover art, I mean, wasn't there that whole thing when you're a kid about not judging a book by its cover?
Yeah. There's
And
always.
there are some great fantasy novels that I have downstairs that have some of the worst covers.
Oh, people should go look. If you're really
Go look at
upset.
some sci-fi stuff.
Well, if people are really that upset about cover art, PC Gamer just recently, within the last few months, did like the worst cover art PC game cover arts, and some of them are horrible. There's like a mage one where it's just like some random dude screaming at this at the out of the box. You're just like, I don't even know. I don't even want to touch that game. Just we've had some terrible cover art in the and cover art when you depended on cover art because that was the only way you were really selling games is by getting attention. And maybe you got attention because your cover art was so bad.
Right, because like you'd see the cover, and maybe the cover would make you flip it over and read the back, and that would determine if you bought the game or not. I mean, that's a problem like I'm having with my son, is that he'll get to the app store and he'll find cool looking icons, and he's like, I want to get this, and then I'll read about it. I'm like, no, you can't because of this or because of that.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, I keep referencing back in the day, but this is, I mean, this is what we did back in the days. You'd look for an interesting cover, and then you flipped it over because the front always had some artwork, and then you'd flip it over on the back, and usually there's a screenshot or two with a description of what the game was, and that was kind of how you decided, do I really want to play
See.
this?
I think I have some of my old PC stuff. I
Oh,
do.
well, tell me you got a cereal box in there.
No, I don't have one that big.
Oh, there you. Oh man, Sim Theme Park. That was such a good game. Sim Golf
See,
was
so
also
you
really
pick
good.
up this up and you'd be like, oh wow, like I like SimCity. Theme parks, how cool is that? And then you flip it over, and on the back it would tell you exactly everything you would need to know.
Yeah. You know, I can say this. The one. The one.
Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, fancy.
Ah,
Fancy.
you build it, you write it.
Man, back in the day. I'm sorry for all you
See? And
audio
there's more
listeners.
information.
If all you're doing is listening to this via audio, I'm sorry, but you're missing out some
Yeah.
pretty epic PC nostalgia right here. Yeah.
Yep,
There
there's
you go.
some stuff on the back. Let's see,
So,
what else do I got? Oh, do you remember this game?
sheep. Wow. Oh, that's not even
Yeah.
a real. Oh, that's like just an instruction
Oh, and
manual.
this was one of my favorites.
Age of
Age of
Mythology.
Mythology. This is actually the instruction manuals. This is another, lost art.
Yeah, the
Because
instruction manuals.
well, it's because the games now teach you
Yeah, there's
how to play.
no more of the reading. I remember having to sit down just to read for 20 minutes trying to
But
figure
you, well, you had to, otherwise you wouldn't know how to play.
I will say this. So back in the day, Blizzard, when Warcraft 3 had come out, actually released three different box art covers, and it was it Thrall, Arthas, and I forget the elf, but you had three different covers, and I was like, I will buy this game three times just so I can have all three of those
I
boxes.
remember
And I do
people doing
remember
that.
actually having those up and displaying them because I was just like, that's so badass. It's so cool. And now you gotta go to Best Buy if you want this DLC, or you gotta go to freaking GameStop if you wanna just get the Street Fighter V Collector's Edition, because we won't let that fucking go to Amazon.
You're not bitter about that at all, are
Oh,
you?
fuck no. No, I'm not bitter that the game's coming out next week and I have to wait until March to play it, but hey, whatever. I mean, that's cool. That's cool. GameStop, you just go ahead and take your very sweet ass time. But that one comes with a nice steel case too, so that one did come with a steel case and a art book. Actually, the art books now is more of what I'm interested in. Not cover arts. It's if you can include an art book, I
Okay,
love me some art books.
I will say though that the cover does me on strategy guides, and I think it's not that it's gonna obviously going to make me buy it or not, but I kind of see the strategy guides as also a half art book, half strategy guide. So I'd like the cover to be
Well, to me,
appealing.
if the cover art, which is, I mean, most of the times it's just the cover art for the game,
Usually, yes.
usually, but sometimes they spiffy it up, add in some foil. They like
Hopefully they'll spiffy up Doom.
the Soul Calibur one, even the Fallout guide. The Fallout guide is freaking fantastic. It looks like an old book just by looking at the cover, and to me, being able to tie that guide, make it feel like it is an extension of that game, is a very big part of making it a cohesion experience, cohesive experience, because
Jesus.
Yeah, because you know, if you have something that makes you already feel just holding it while you're drinking your coffee and you feel like you're playing the game or you're experiencing part of the game or you're just bringing part of that game with you for lunch or if you're going to go to work and read it on your break or whatever, you know, and having people stop by at your desk and be like, "Oh, what's that? Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's cool. Let me, can I look through that?" I mean, it's almost like the old days when you would bring your Nintendo Powers to school and share it with your friends at lunch. So, yes. But that's, I mean, I don't know. It's so, I'm like, you know, I'm with you because the cover art, the actual all around presentation of a strategy guide is very important to me, as I've often iterated. Usually, always, my reviews almost always start by talking about the covers and if they're good or bad, especially on the collector's editions ones. So
Well, that's very important because the collector's editions is like, why is this worth that extra five, $10?
So, yeah. But even like the Soul Calibur guide, which was Future Press. I mean, they did a great job. I mean, Future Press does great jobs with all of their covers and always making it really, even the feel, the tactile feel when you're, you know, if it's hard, but yet it's got that nice soft kind of smooth feel to it. I like their covers. They always do a pretty good job on it. So, Prima did a really great job with this Fallout guide and all the little extra goodies that they included with it too is pretty badass. So, yeah. To me, that matters more than some box that I'm just gonna, even like the 3DS games. I basically come home, open the box, pull the game out, and then take the box down to the recycling bin because I'm never going to use it again. Because the game just ends up going into a smaller case, that way I can travel with it. And like we had pointed out earlier, like there's no instruction manuals anymore. So usually there's a code. So I'll pull out that little pamphlet in the Nintendo thing for the codes. But other than that, if I buy it, well, yeah, I've like Mortal Kombat was my last one, but. You know, go through, pull all those out. I don't even know where the box is for that one. I don't even think I had a steel case for that one, so. But yeah, that's how important cover art is to me anymore. I don't understand.
Yeah, I got an argument with a friend over this because I was like, really? People are yelling about that? And he was explaining to me exactly why box art was so important. And I'm just like, oh, my eyes are glazing over. I'm like, okay, so it's important to you. I don't know how, why that's important to everyone. I mean, yes, it was kind of funny when Kotaku was making fun of it, you know, with like, look how generic it is, Halo 5. Like, okay, I see this is kind of funny. I get what they're saying, but then to write an entire editorial about how it's bad and why this is bad for the video game industry, like, okay, life's too short, people. Okay, so the cover art is bad. Let's just say it's bad, it's boring, it's generic. Freaking move on.
But I mean, if haters were actually going to listen to this podcast, I'm sure we would end up with a ton of comments below this, which go ahead, comment away. I don't even pay attention to you, you haters, you dicks on the internet. Don't even pay attention to you. Just don't care about your anger and your hate because I'm too busy having fun playing video
No,
games.
it is true. He doesn't. Yesterday I was like, so what should we talk about this week? He goes, I don't know. Like, what do you mean you don't know? I was like, well, I don't keep it up with the gaming industry because everyone's so angry. I'm like, well, son of a bitch. All right, let me see what I got.
But I did happen to stumble upon the Doom thing. I forget how I stumbled upon that one anyway. But I did see that nice little picture, and that made me laugh. I mean, you gotta, come on, people. Instead of being
But yes, like I
angry,
said,
just.
Kotaku handled it the right way. It was like, this is funny.
Yeah. Sit back and let. Yeah, okay, so you got a generic thing. How often are you getting. I mean, really, think about it. When was the last game case that you bought purely because the cover art looked great? I bet
And
you.
how great was the game?
Yeah. So. Unless somebody can technically say that they went to a store, looked through all the games, and went, oh, this cover art really intrigues me, and then flipped it over and was like, I'm totally gonna buy this game just because the cover art trigger. I would bet nobody can say that they do that.
Not anymore.
So, stop being so angry about every. It's a bad cover art. Okay, great. It's Doom. What are you expecting? It's Doom. We're gonna get the same bloody. We're fighting the same fucking aliens that we've been fighting for 21 years.
Well, actually, they're minions from hell,
Minions,
so
aliens, whatever. I
it's
mean,
just a first-person shooter version of Diablo, if you think about it. I mean, come on.
yeah, this one, they threw in some new melee moves. Great. I'd be happy to jump on top of my giant pink floating
And you
eyeball
rip
thing
off
and.
someone's arm and beat them on the head with it, you know.
Yeah,
Little things in life.
the giant centaur demon that has the rockets for arms. I saw the part where he kicks you down and rips your leg off and then beats you with
Yeah.
it. I was just like, okay, you got me. You got me. Let's do this. As long as we get
It's
rid of
bloody and awful. Sign up, Chris.
it's bloody and violent. There we go. But yeah, just come on. There are more things to be irritated by. Let's be irritated by something other than some insignificant part. I'm having a really hard
Because it
time.
greatly impacts your life about the box art.
Oh God, I am. As soon as we're done here, I'm gonna go weep in a corner because the Doom box art is so fucking generic. I was expecting some sort of greatness, some homage to the greatness that is Doom, not Call of Duty Doom. Call of Doom. Call of Doom. Call of Doom 5.
I like it. Call of Doom 5. Don't answer that phone call. It's Doom. He's angry.
But yeah. Even the I didn't even buy
They want Invader Zim on there singing the Doom song? I mean.
give me a good game. Make it bug free so that way I can play it. I am running a
Now
spec
you're
for
asking a lot.
I know. I know. Let's get some more betas. People are getting hyped for the Division being open beta next weekend, except for me, because I'll be on the road. Because I probably won't be able to play it then. Overwatch is out right now. I have been kind of debating on that, but it's all team based, and I'm not really a CS:GO kind of player, and I know that this is the kind of crowd that they're aiming for, so probably won't be getting into that one either. But whatever. Again, do you know what my box art is for Overwatch? It's a little icon down on the fucking Battle.net thing. That's my box art.
Right.
I mean, my Diablo 3 box art, an icon, and a disc for the PS4. What did I do with the disc? What did I do with the box art for Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls when I bought it on my? This was like one of the very first PS4 games I bought. Yep, pulled the disc out. But box art is somewhere in a recycle fill somewhere. Probably already recycled. Probably turned into a Mountain Dew can some or bottle somewhere. Come on, people. There's so much better things to be irritated about. Anyway.
Oh, what can I say? It was a slow week for drama, so you gotta be mad about something, right?
It is pretty inter Here comes the noise. Told you we would be in some sort of deep, insightful
Well, I think
conversation.
we're about, at least we wrapped up the deep, insightful stuff. You can get into what we've been playing.
Oh, yeah. So, Carrie, I see that there's a new Assassin's Creed on here. I didn't think that these were getting cranked out so fastly.
Well, China was over a year ago, and then
But then India just
I've.
like feels like it just came out a month
Yeah,
ago.
like, so India came out January, and then Russia, the last one, just came out this week. Gosh, I was telling things about eyes, driving me crazy. And Russia.
Is it better than India?
So slight.
So you have Assassin's Creed Chronicles India, then you've got Russia, and then you have China. That was like so good,
Yeah.
other than the Firestorm.
I mean, Russia, because it's in the 1900s now, so they brought in like new technology. So like you use telephones to distract people, so like you make a call, like you call them downstairs and they go answer the phone and then you could go, run and do your thing. There's you have a Tesla winch that you can use to that you use the winch to kind of pull things towards you, but you can also run the electrical current to it, which will blow fuse boxes, which is great for turning off all the lights in the building or for electrocuting enemies who are standing in water. But they also have some upgrades too, like some of them have gas masks, so smoke bombs won't affect them. That's fun.
Oh,
That's
that's a good touch, though. It's a good touch. If I mean,
You have a rifle, but it's loud and it's not really good for being silent. You have a rifle, so it's really only best for like causing distractions or shooting out lights. They don't have the escort missions, but they have instead of, they have one fire run thing, which really wasn't too bad, but then they brought in searchlight. It's like the searchlight catches you, sniper, insta-death. And what else did they have? Oh, they also have a sniper areas, because Orlov has a rifle with them. You get sniper areas and you can pick off people. So it's like little things that made it a little more interesting. And they did this really interesting twist, because this is the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. So they actually have it where he stumbles upon Princess Anastasia, who has tried to escape the slaughter, and he ends up taking her with him. So he actually plays two different characters, and they have two different sets of abilities. Like, she actually has these helix abilities where she can blend in, or she can do the helix dashes and run right in front of people and they don't see her, things like that. But she doesn't have any smoke bombs. She can't do hand-to-hand combat. She can assassinate only if no one sees her do it. So, I mean, it's very different ways of attacking it. And I was like, this is going to be great. And then they introduced the idea of speed stealth. And I mean speed stealth as in you have to get through these 8 guys in 50 seconds and you cannot make a single mistake. And you can't be seen. Oh, and they all are wearing gas masks, so you can't use your smoke bombs. You know, do you remember in China how the way that you leveled up was that you had to get so many points by your performance? Mm-hmm. And then, like, for a certain level, that maybe they'd give you extra health or they'd give you more smoke bombs or whatever. This one, you know, they still do that. But now the bar is so high that if you get one bronze, you will not level up in anything.
Wow.
So I never leveled up. So I never got extra health. I never got extra armor. I never got more smoke bombs and all this stuff. And it got to a point in the game where it was physically impossible for me to move on because I was not leveled up enough, and I couldn't do things perfectly, and it had a lot of timed runs. And you know, typically with a timed run for something, you always have about a 5 or 10 second cushion, right? Mm-hmm. Just you make a mistake, there's no room for mistakes in this game. It wants you to be perfect and master the skills. And I actually, like, I had to catch this train, and I don't know how many times I did this, but I actually got to the jumping point with a 2 second clock. I missed the train. Yeah,
I play some hard games, but this sounds like stupid hard. Like,
and I was like, I haven't played a retro game that required this much perfection and precision. I mean, even I was watching, you know, Battletoads, the speedrunners, they were making mistakes, like little tiny mistakes, but it didn't cost them the entire thing.
Well, I mean, it cost them their times, but I mean,
when
you're doing AGDQ or SGDQ, you're more doing it to help bring in donations and just show off what you can do. If you're really,
but my point is, when they're playing these retro games, the retro games themselves didn't request absolute perfection. Yes, these guys can do it perfectly because that's why they're speedrunners. But if they make a mistake, it's not detrimental. And this was like, you make a mistake, is game over instantly. Like, you are dead, you have to restart, because it's very big on not being seen or insta-death. And it, what I realized, like, how perfect they wanted it to be and how I hadn't been perfect in past levels, so therefore I didn't level up enough, and therefore I can't get any further from where I am. I called it time of death. And I was, again, I was on the second to last memory.
Hey, if you're not having fun, hang it up and call it a day.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I was even telling my boss, I was like, yeah, you know what's really fun? Speed stealth. You know, because my idea of stealth is like, I'm going to do stealth, I need time to analyze, make my plots, and this is like, nope, you just run right through it as fast as you can, make no mistakes, oh, and don't be seen.
Yeah.
And you have 50 seconds to do it.
I don't mind stealth levels. I hate time levels. I hate any time that you're like, do this within this amount of time.
Then don't play this game at all, because like almost every level has some sort of time sequence.
Oh, screw that. That's like an artificial difficulty modifier where you just...
Right?
I hate that. I hate that mechanic, and I hate the... Some escort missions are alright, but generally escort missions, because the AI tends to be so terrible.
And I'm talking about, well, like in India, you had the escort, well, not really escort, but they were tailing missions. And I don't mind the tailing, but when they're fucking timed.
Oh, yeah.
So not only do I have to, like, keep him in my sight, and I can't let him out of my sight for, like, longer than 2 seconds, but I also only have, like, a minute to go do this. I was like, you know.
Nope. Nope, I don't like those artifacts. I mean, you know what?
I got this one level that I had to steal this key from this guy before he got to this certain door. And he gets to the door in 30 seconds. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Fuck stealth. I ran through slaughtering everybody, got to him, killed him, took the key right as he was at the door. Of course, I got the lowest rating. Like, well, I'm sorry that I'm not talented enough to figure out how to shadow this entire thing and never be seen and just pickpocket the key from the guy.
You know what's funny is that the new standard for difficult games, the Soul series, you know what they don't have? Timed missions.
Timed missions are the worst, man.
Oh, fuck those. All right, enough about this.
So anyway, yeah. But an awesome thing I did play was I picked up this indie game. Like basically, I guess got this random press release that was like, "Hey, here's this game. It's already out. Would you like to try it?" I was like, "Looks interesting. Why not?" And it's called Order of the Thorn: King's Challenge, and it's a point-and-click adventure game, and it's done in a retro King's Quest style, as in it's done in 32 bits, and they even have a narrator. And it's all, you know, puzzle based, so there's no real action. So, but one thing about it versus King's Quest is that there's no unwinnable situation. They even make that claim, like immediately up front. They're like, there's no situation you get in where it's unwinnable because you can't, because like maybe you might have missed this one little thing, now you're stuck. Well, certain things don't happen until you get that one little thing. So, but it wasn't very long. Like, it only took me about 4 hours to get through, and that was with a lot of backtracking, like, where the hell do I use this thing? And there's a lot of humor in it, and it seems like it's going to be the first of many because it kind of, the way that it ended really let off, there's going to be more, which I'm excited about. But this is kind of a fun little callback to that era of point and click, and I love that it had the old, super old style of it. And you know, like, because he was a bard, and so I'd have him play all these songs, and if you didn't need that certain song somewhere, it would say, "Such a lovely tune, played so well," and it did absolutely nothing.
Oh, sarcastic
Like,
games.
yeah, there was a lot of humor like that. Even like amongst, like when you talk to the other characters, they would make little jokes, and they'd be like, "Well, this is what happens," and he'd go, "Really? No."
Oh, that's great.
So, I mean, it was only like $10, I think. So, I mean, I'd say add it to your wish list for a Steam sale. I really, really liked it. And then I started playing Firewatch yesterday. Played about an hour and a half of it, and my initial impressions, because they're very minimal, is that it's very beautiful and it's rather boring. I'm hoping that stuff's about to pick up. It seems like it is. There's obviously some mystery going on in this area to solve, but it hasn't really grabbed me as to what it is. I think I was telling you yesterday that, like, you know, at least the Vanishing of Ethan Carter, the exploration game, like, you're caught like that because you walk on train track and there's legs. Like, whose legs are these?
Well, that and it was, I mean, so I started, it caught me off guard because I had been hearing about Firewatch and then I saw it was on Twitch yesterday, so I was watching a couple of the guys that I follow playing it. And it looks all right, but to me, like, Vanishing of Ethan Carter looked so much better. So, I mean, that was way, and like you said, it, like, you get in the game and you start exploring within 5 minutes. You're just like, holy shit, there's skulls and traps and what the hell's going on? And I mean, that part was really good. So from what I watched, and I can say I watched one guy play for about 30 minutes, and he'd said he'd already been playing for 2 hours. So at that point, he'd been playing for about 2.5 hours. And then I went to go do something else, came back probably 2 hours later, and he'd just got to the end. He had just beaten it.
Okay, so it's short. It seems
It's
short.
like a 4.5. To me, it seemed like it was like a 4.5, maybe 6 hour long kind of game. Which, I mean, it's $20, I think, without
That's a lot of money.
on Steam sale. It's on Steam sale. Anyway, it's like $15 to $20. I forget where it was at
No,
because I.
it's $19.99. It's on Steam sale right now for $17.99.
There you go.
But I mean, if that's really how long it is, about 5 or 6 hours, I mean, that's a. I mean, okay, I say that, and I've spent $60 on games that are just as short.
Yeah, but you have to replay them. I mean, do you, anyway, that's my if I'm going to replay it. But I can say this. I think your impressions are going to pretty much stay the same the entire way through, because I was watching another stream, and they had just finished it. And I caught it when the credits are scrolling, and this is when both streamers were giving their impressions, and both of them were like, the story is just not there. There is no story.
Well,
it's kind of a boring
shit.
Game. So be prepared for that. So I don't know, like,
okay.
There was something else that I saw where it showed, anyway, but that was, you know, it's on my wish list. I'll probably pick it up when it goes on a Super Steam sale just to try to check it out. But so far, the two people that I've actually watched, and they, you know, at the end, they both kind of agreed that the story just, there was no meat to it. There was no substance. And the game, while it was pretty, there wasn't a whole lot of actual substance. So, yeah, the $20 price point at this, after hearing that and hearing, you know, your initial impressions, and it seems like they're lining up with what I have been seeing online, even though some people are saying that it's a great game, because I have started to see some of those reviews, but you know, now that I'm seeing people actually play it, and it's not something that I think we're going to see on Twitch that long, because obviously it's a very short game, and people are already, I mean, they're doing Overwatch and XCOM too, so.
Well, like, I was recording some of my footage, like, I was kind of playing with it, I was just doing it straight from OBS, and realized that maybe I need to use my game capture device, because the OBS was getting it really pixelated and bad, so I may try to game capture, but then I was doing, I was like, is any of this interesting? So I may record, like, I may replay, like, a little bit of the first day and kind of play that first, like, actual, like, mission that you have, just to give people an idea, and then that may be all that I record. But
I mean, the little bit that, I mean, I think I've watched an hour and a half, maybe, of it in total now, and there's been a couple spots where I'm just like, well, that's a beautiful screenshot, but then the dude pulls up his hand again, I'm like, the hand is throwing me off, because it just looks so bad. But there's you know, there's been a couple times where they'll be exploring an area, and the only choice that I really saw that you get to make is how you're responding on the radio.
Yes.
Which I would totally be a dick on that. And then there was a part where, like, he goes to get supplies, and she goes, don't take them all. Remember, there's more people than just you out there, and it turns out there's five other people. And you can literally take all the supplies.
Yeah, I have been.
So, and then he goes fishing, because he's like, I'm sick and tired of eating all the food that was in the supplies. And she's like, well, then maybe you should have taken all the supplies. And I was like, you're a dick. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. See how far you get. What you think of it? Maybe your opinion will change when something. I honestly don't know what the big cliffhanger part was.
I don't either. I mean, the beginning surprised me. I was not expecting that, which kind of gave the background reason of why he's there. And I think I'm gonna make this a. Because next week I'll have this finished, but I think I want to make this a topic for next week, is about games relying on the emotional part instead of having a good combination of both. Because I don't want to get too much into that, because I'll save it for next week. Because, like, again, going back to The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, I thought that did a really good job of having some really interesting gameplay, focused on exploration, and still hitting that emotional tug. Whereas, like, you know, like, I think Blake, he reviewed Unravel, and he's like, it's cute. And they really try to, you know, tug that emotional thing on you. He's like, but, you know, there's not really much else there to make it more unique than something else, I guess. Kind of like comparison to, like, Yoshi's Woolly World or something like that, you know, with the whole idea with the yarn. Or Kirby's Epic Yarn. Like, it's not that much different. But they're trying to use the emotional side of it to maybe sell it. I don't know. I haven't played Unravel. You know, I got a review code and, you know, puzzle platformer. That ain't happening. So here, Blake, here you go. You like The Witness. You thought it was fun to, like, draw on a graph paper and cut out pieces and form your puzzles. Here you go.
Oh, Blake.
So now that is what I have been playing.
Right. Well, I don't really have a whole lot new to add to this. Play some more
It's like you've
WoW.
been playing MMO.
I have been pl I after last week, for some reason, I was just like, let's MMO all the things. So, jumped into some WoW again, played that a little bit. I've played Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, in the fact that I played the server waiting games, so that way I could actually roll on the server that we're all, that me, you, and Mr. Pete are going to play on. So, finally got that, which, by the way, if you want to roll your character, the only time that Altros is open is in the morning.
All
By
right, so I guess I'll be doing that.
sometime in the afternoon, it closes down. So at night it's gone, and in the morning it's free. So
That's weird.
however they work that, why they do that to maintain server balance, I don't. I mean, I want to roll on where my friends are going to be, so I have to wait. I mean, to me, anyway, it's a stupid mechanic to me, but that's what I played, and now I'm playing the let's set up our UI game because Final Fantasy
Are
XIV
you you're
on
playing
the.
on PC, right?
I play on both PC and PS4. So on the PS4, on PC you can go in and actually copy your UI files and transfer them to characters. On PS4, you have to set up your UI every single character. Even if the characters are on the same server, you can't just copy a UI that you have from a prior character. To me, this is the worst part about this because getting that UI is so time-consuming to me. Because I like to have things, you get used to having things in specific spots at specific sizes. And in order to have the full UI control, I had to load it up on PC, which then apparently set some toggles, so that way in PS4 I could do even more with it. Anyway, it's a UI. I mean, love it or hate it, but it's the UI, so. And all the controls don't line up, so I have to go back through and try to, like, oh, it's such a cumbersome bitch. It's like, just make. Like, if I set up my controls, this is how I want my controls for all the characters. It's obviously that I'm not going to be like, for this character, I think I'll have my controller set up this way. And for this character, I'll just have the controller set up this way. And I'm talking down to the point of, like, looking up and down. Because, some areas I like to play inverted when I'm playing with the character. But if I'm looking at a map or something, I like it a different way. Come on, Square. Get with the times. Anyway.
It sounds like a big you problem to me.
No, this is an everybody problem. This is like the box art that we just talked about. This is a big
Oh, dear
problem,
Lord.
Gary.
All right, well, go write an editorial about it.
Oh, I will. I will. I'll make sure that's like 1,500 words long, too.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I played some more Heroes of the Storm because I
Because
apparently.
why not?
Because why not? And then the one that really threw. Got thrown in there was the crew.
Still trying to drive across the US?
I finished that. I got
Oh.
all the map uncovered, so it's all done. That took quite a bit of, that actually, I started thinking about how long I had spent just driving around the US to try to get that entire map unlocked. And because it took me a weekend to finish it off, and I had a little bit of California left to do, and then most of the mountain states, which is in between, which is a big chunk of the map, actually. The mountain states are really big. I don't know why those get to be so big, but I started figuring it out that even just over the weekend, just to do that, I'd say I had 35% of the map left to finish, and it took me 14 hours just to drive around and get that, and that's on top of whatever I did on the front side, which is probably a good 15 to 20 hours on top of that. So, I mean, just driving around was a lot. And then, I wanted a monster truck. I had to have a monster truck. So, yes, I then had to buy the Wild Run so that way I could unlock that, which also unlocks they did some graphic improvements, so it actually looks a little bit better now. So, that part's really nice. So then I get Wild Run, and then you have to go do their little events. So they have like a new drag race event that you can do, and they have drifting challenges, which I hated the drifting challenges. The monster truck one, you just drive around this obstacle course and try to get as many points as you possibly can. So I did all that, and then went and bought my monster truck. So now I'm cruising around Detroit in a giant monster truck that handles for shit. And goes about 80
But you're
miles
doing
an
it
hour.
in a monster truck.
But I'm doing it in my F-150 monster truck. Oh, but yeah, it was so much. I forgot how photogenic that game actually is. When I was doing the Mountain States, I was down in, like, in the Monument Valley, and it was sunset. So the, you know, looking out to the west, and you got a little bit of the Rockies. But I forgot just how nice some of those vistas that they cranked out in that game are. So it's been fun, and I've been slowly trying to work on the story. But because I haven't played the game in a while, my racing skills are a bit rusty, so I've been trying to react. And driving a monster truck is vastly different than driving my Mini Cooper.
Well, yes.
So I've had more fun just driving around having fun, but now I actually want to do some of the other things that are in the other areas, so I have to get my character level up. So slowly but surely getting that done and getting some money so I can make some more tunings on my cars. And yeah. Now I want to play that again. Maybe I'll go get some pizza and play that. So, Carrie, you should take us home.
Oh, pizza sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Anytime. Hey, you have Torchy's tacos. I don't have that.
Yeah, now I want tacos. Dang it.
Taco pizza.
Yeah, I know. Just roll up the pizza like a taco, like New York style. There it's perfect. Go. All right. So thank you again for listening, watching, whatever, Center Strategy Guide Reviews Coffee Break podcast. If there's anything particularly you want to talk about, if you have any questions, you can always leave a comment on this post or email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. You can also follow us. The site is Strategy Reviews. Chris is at Starvin, and I am at Crunchy Chocobo. And, of course, we ask that you keep on reading. SGR, can't have this podcast without it, so... Keep reading.
And with that, we always want to remind you in 2016, because the internet is full of you assholes, quit being a dick. Just stop it. Have fun. Remember, this is video games. This is entertainment. We have fun here. That's what we do. Have fun. Stop being a dick. And with that, we're out. Peace.